Engelbart had a what seems to me a very unusual position in North America. He always showed up on the organization chart, whereas the other residents, S4, S4B, and S1C, you showed up on the organization chart. No, but there was always a little gizmo out there with Werner Gengelbach's name in it. Is there some special reason for him giving him such visibility even early in the program in North America?
It was probably an administrative grade level thing. The relationship worked the same. There is really no difference.
When the Tiger teams were out there, they were still working more or less under the project manager, Gengelbach.
Manager. Of course, there was with the project management now being moved out there, in effect, there was a new relationship with the resident office rather than a series. You have to act through the resident office to a problem. Of course, there is a man you have geographically separated, you have a communication line with the contractor through him.
Mm-hmm.
With the project manager out there, so the director still continue to function and continue to do all many of the things, the business and the other administrative functions without change. Pacing items, you might say, pacing technical management, the Tiger team had to work. The rest of it was left alone.
Okay, well, looking at my list of questions here, we've really kind of gone through a lot. Oh, I know why.
Yeah, the only one I had to bomb out on, I guess, was that one that Willie was reporting.
Yeah. What happened to Harrison Storm? When he was beat down, he just got me with the name of one of the corporate presidents or something.
I don't know where he is now. I haven't heard of him. He was around. In North America.
He was still at the company. Then.
Still is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Well, do you have any other, before we close it up here, any other little anecdotes or any comments you'd like to make to our record?
I wanted to get the feeling across to you from my viewpoint about the toughest problems were in the first. S1C was a monster. 7.5 million pounds of pressure. Where his early development was joint. I'm sure you found out. We started the thing out parallel.
Right, and we had one that I have
tremendous resources applied to it, and no major problem.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the performance and mass fraction characteristics, we could afford to put more people, okay? Mm-hmm. And did. They get an ES2 or an ES4B.
Is that the same as fractional mechanics?
No.
That's different. Okay.
Mass fraction is the ratio of the weight to the amount of propellant they carry.
Okay.
And therefore, it's a function of how light is the structure, right. How beefy is it in relation to the job it has to do. So S1C was a high horsepower machine that has a tremendous thrust supplement. Loads, but it was designed to do the job. It had, I would say, more adequate safety margins than some of the other space commanders. So it worked quite well. It was very successful. I'd say it was the easiest of the three projects. 4B was easy in that it leaned on the S4, but it had the nasty restart that I told you about, and also had the space vehicle coach. Maintain attitude control and all that good stuff. So it had some new things to do. It was probably the toughest problem of the three. Again, I told you the problem. So those three characteristics of the three things. The IU, I haven't talked about at all.
I
think you ought to talk to somebody familiar with it. It performed quite well, flawlessly in all of the problem areas where it's called on to do something, it came through every time.
Matter of fact, but this morning I talked to Luther Powell. One thing that
now, I haven't mentioned the salt.
Okay. Yeah.
you know, the long vehicle had its own guns and control. And it put the space crew district in a center trajectory, TLI, using its own guidance. People argued that we could use the spacecraft, to save all of that. Specifications built in and safety features built in, which let it withstand the loads. The space was also fortunate, and I guess the place where the lightning lit up was some of its critical elements. Its guidance was knocked out and had the, but not permanently, but had to reconfigure and speed again. So in that particular case, we saved that issue. And then the redundancy in the guidance between the launch vehicle and the spacecraft. Now, on the contrary, the astronauts were trained to fly the launch vehicle if the launch vehicle dropped out. They could take command. It was very tough for them to do in places during the flight where if we lost the launch vehicle guidance, they probably couldn't have controlled it. At least we had redundancy both ways.
Now, what kind of control would they have going to be?
They would have been able to steer it using the spacecraft guidance. They could tell whether they were on the right trajectory. They would have been able to steer it into the right yaw and pitch control using the yaw and the spacecraft and its computer. Thankfully, so you'd be sure everything was going.
That is something I really think to come across.
Right. So yeah, that's just one major example of redundancy that was built into the total system. Stage, of course, had redundancy where it could. I say could because obviously, well, yes, to have redundancy in engines. We could lose one engine and did do so. We lost two ones. The S-4B didn't have redundancy. If you lost that one engine, you had it. There were many component valves and other things where, and certainly in the IU, in any place, which were redundant, triple redundancy in the computer. So, you had dual or triple redundancy, could put it in logically, where we couldn't, of course, very careful to qualify with high margins. So the name of the game was not a concern for the money to do the job. We had to, of course, concern with money to be our budget figures, otherwise we'd overrun the entire program, which we didn't. But we did indeed have the built into the entire follow mission launch vehicle wise that it would do the job and it would fly or schedule. I'd say that operational mission that 502 turned on. As you knew the problems we had on 502.
Right.
Our conservative approach would have been to fly 503 on man rather than make that certain.
Yeah.
But that would have put us out of the decade probably. So We've missed actual missions on top of early emerging flight development problems that occur in flight. The ground test program was tremendous. We saw many hundreds of even, or even thousands of problems in system testing on the ground, without a question. And only those that very few component problems occurred during flight that should have been on the ground, in my opinion. Some occurred during that long sequence of testing and big testing.
Something that occurred to me now, we're talking about the S4B and so on. What was the difference between S4B to the Saturn V and S4B to the Saturn I B? Not
no, the major.
Is that correct?
No, the state propulsion are quite different in that the S4B had the restart provisions, Saturn V, and 1B did not. You had pressurization bottles that would repressurize the tank.
Right.
Repress bottles, they call them.
Those were tapped from the hydrogen tank, I recall, right? Start tank for helium.
Yeah, you had helium. Actually, you had the pressurization tanks, helium tanks, cold, and lower efficiency. You had to repressurize the tank. And that was some ambient bottles in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
You had that tapered after it had been in the tube. You had the circle of bottles. By the way, one of those bottles caused that stage blow up.
Yeah, I went through that. Was on the factory.
On the factory.
Titanium, the
titanium
thing,
the
well
titanium
problem.
Restart bottles blew up. It was the tracing that one down was interesting. What caused the failure? Bang, the stage blew. Tracing it down to us to a not only to a titanium that failed.
It was a well problem, wasn't it?
The well problem because the welder chose the wrong welding wire. Story about how this happened. There are so many hundreds of thousands of steps that are taken in manufacturing that have to be watched very carefully. This coil of wire looked anywhere. And it was all certified. It looked right, it had the right pedigree. But somewhere somebody had failed to avoid the wrong alloy had crept into the manufacturing of the welding wire.
Good grief. So the guy actually picked up the right wire theoretically.
Of course, he knew it was right. It was identified and all, but some back behind him in the furnishing of the wires were that had tested the wire that they didn't find, taking a sample wire to confirm. Can you imagine the terrific job of testing all of the basic materials that go into the launch vehicle?
That's another got me about the vendor quality program that McDonald, for example, had. I haven't been more familiar with that particular one. Another question I wanted to ask you was during the little phase of the Saturn V, for example, think of really doing the orbit, the astronauts going around, then who makes the decision to go PLI?
Both have to. Yeah, ground makes the decision. Both the launch vehicle
or down the cage.
Oh no. The command of the launch vehicle reverting Houston right after liftoff.
Okay, so the
after it's clear of the tower, then the decision to go vehicle and spacecraft going. And the launch vehicle will jeopardize the operational control center here. Tied in with Houston. In other words, we have telemetry down. Readouts of all the S4B features, as well as people that monitor, but we monitor more in depth here. But look at every aspect, be sure to restart. Right? All of its parameters were in the invasion. And the spacecraft, of course, did the same thing. They had to confirm that they were ready to go. Start command was given.
So that really marked that five places that the foundation made in Houston.
At Houston, right. But in other words, mission control for the total Apollo was concentrated at Goodex from out there as well as side and as well here, launch vehicle side, before the burn was committed to, I was committed. And during, of course, during the burn, relatively safe, they could shut it down and abort. Or if in some rare cases the astronauts, like I told, take over and try to guide the supply. I've heard that they could not guide during the max Q unless they were lucky. So it's simply a matter of setting up the organization. If the problem began to fall, that would look like we should call aboard, then it would be called up by Houston, and they would execute the board. And then, of course, if the escape system if it was not on, then the S-4B would say, and the S-2 would fly away. And the S-2 goes, the S-4B goes, and of course, that's it. Of course, they jettison that, and the S-2 runs. Big management problem. I would credit Sam Phillips as the individual who made it all happen. George sorted it out and got it started. He sorted it out. He was more of an introvert than a brilliant. But I think Sam helped go out and get the people to keep on site, some people, the Houston people, all the contractors on the same frequency. You know, we had a lot of the launch vehicles. The launch vehicles were relatively independent of the spacecraft, vice versa. And Sam had to be somebody to make that whole thing fit together and did the proper overall jobs. And so did George.
General Electric have
an
overall concept for the
whole
vehicle, or was it just
for the whole vehicle? General Electric? Yeah, wasn't it GE? Had a system. Bell was the total guidance, you might say, mission guidance, head rack, two head racks, looking over the thing. They were important in the early days to set up the mission properly. Later, Boeing had a system contract. Looked across the entire thing that Sam essentially did.
That was
to be sure that was headquarters for it. The pieces now, everywhere. Be sure it all played.
Did that create some issues?
Yes, of course. Because each piece, like we had a piece at Marshall, we find the problem, we would go solve it. And we'd report it. Boeing would look into it and say, you got to check and double check. Naturally, it's going to be.
But it worked.
Yeah, it worked. It was assurance. Yeah, assurance, triple assurance in both management and technical.
I remember coming across some memorandum once when Boeing was a contract. Looked unfavorably on because they're really going to be meddling around.
Well, you see, everybody wants his own integral control of his part of the pop.
Yeah.
Ideally, you don't want no. But I think that's the point I'm going to raise. Earmarks of a pop are very, very high assurance that the job will be done as committed to back in the day, okay? And every way you can think of. And a lot of things were done that were controversial because someone believed that we should have that additional. And they did uncover enough, usually, to justify themselves. Sometimes no, but usually they did.
Mark talked about management. Let me ask you another question about the gem boxes, which always seem to need aerial arrangement. Besides the gem boxes, so called. They're in the Miller office in Washington, where you, in some of the jump several layers of administration to your project, to down to the project between. Directly in the front, you're almost bypassed the program manager.
That worked all right. The offices were not big enough or strong enough to short. I think it was beneficial. Was in charge of the S-4B. Named Kennedy Federation. Managing headquarters was great benefit, where he kept him fully aware, attended all the meetings. He was fully aware of all the problems. What you hate, and what you hate is a rumor of a problem, which is just emerging. Hits our, you know, it gets sorted out, and we even know what we're talking about. First thing you know, the conference call. We hear you have a problem. We haven't talked about it yet. We just heard it yet last night ourselves. And tell me what you're going to do about it. Well, this is disrupting. You see, the problems are the name of the problem. You've got to be sure that your management doesn't stall the blood out before them themselves. You have to let them work it a little bit. And the mirror boxes said, here is the status of that problem. There is a problem. I think they're working. He said, I don't think that enough attention is given enough attention. They call and say, why aren't you giving this problem attention?
They're calling you up and just call the mirror box in the morning.
They report
it right there.
Right, he's safe. The disorientation in terms of jumping back and forth before the thing is sorted out.
Really put the heavy premium now on making sure that the man at each dock here, walking down here, you've got to be particular.
I mean, he'll be suspicious, and as soon as they hear something, you're ready to call from somewhere else. And those things can be interrupting because management is the same way, you know. The center management wants to be informed. The contractor has to be informed. Spending your time telling people before you even know what the hell of what you did yourself or what you're about.
You think that
I'm talking as a project manager.
More about than we did, what the hell, you know? But over the times of together,
that brought people, and the interview we had with Ted Smith put out. And,
very also, candid.
Yes, yeah, very candid. Very good. Good text from you. Good text from the one.
Sure.
And the head was held out.
Did you ever meet Hal Raitman?
John Bell.
Hal was their best man. Hal Bob's career. Hal was the top there. Chief of engineering.
There's another thing. Now, how would you summarize how the FBI got what things and what we kind of tied up for?
I think I could summarize it by saying that the S2 team grew up and matured with solving problems. After a while, the Marshall people got working with them and helping them rather than interrupting them. I say it's wrong. Bound to occur in the early days before people get sorted out. And so technical management relationships quickly and wrap up from search algorithms, and search algorithms were still in the system itself. Maturing of capabilities and focusing so that you're ready to quickly and to find the right solution. Send of both parties, yes, that's the right way to go. All bets are placed and let's go. And doing that, to 20 problems on the board at any one point in time is a freedom for a government contractor team to assess its own joint work major problem size enough to be tracked today. It's a challenge, but now I've done. I think they had further to go and they had to try harder.
They were looking around at where you
were. Those guys were.